The end of Parshas Pinchas is about korbanos, about offerings. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he heard that he was not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael, so his first response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not to demand for himself, but rather to speak about the Jewish people and their needs. And Moshe Rabbeinu speaks very stridently. And he says, it's the only time we have this pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem, Vayidaber Moshe al Hashem Lemer. God speaks to Moshe, so to speak, saying. And Moshe speaks very stridently. And he makes demands, and he wants to see good things happen for the people, specifically in the arena, in the area of leadership. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe. First of all, he tells him, yes, there's going to be a leader. He tells him who the leader is going to be. But then he also tells him, Ad sha'atza ata mitzavane albane, but you're busy worrying about giving me orders, telling me about the children. How about I tell you what to do? Tell my children what to do for me. You're worried about me taking care of my children. I'm worried about my children taking care of me. So you speak to my children, meaning the Jewish people, and you instruct them vis-a-vis offerings or korbanos are concerned. We start off with the daily offerings, and then we go into the special korbanot, the offerings of Yom Tov. And today we're going to focus on the offerings of Sukkot. So the Jewish year starts on Pesach in some ways, right? That's the first month. That's when we come into a nation. We come into our own as a nation. And then after that, we celebrate the giving of the Torah after Matan Torah. And then we had a few mishaps along the way. But ultimately, we returned to the mitzvah, to the Torah mitzvahs, and did what Hashem wanted. And then comes the mitzvahs, the Yom Tovim, of the seventh month of Tishrei, starting with Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, the beginning of the new year, which starts really to marks time from creation. Yom HaKippurim represents the Day of Atonement, when Hashem forgave us for our sin, which is also the date that Hashem fully forgave Adam and Chava for their sin. So it was always a day of forgiveness. And then comes the festival of Sukkot. And Sukkot is a unique holiday because there's offerings, there are korbanot that are brought each and every single day. And this one is not brought necessarily for the welfare of the Jewish people, but rather for the welfare of the entire world. And it is the only time we bring offerings, korbanot, specifically and especially for the welfare of everybody else. So let's take a look at the festival of Sukkot. In your Chumash, it's the seventh reading. It's in chapter 29. Starts at verse number 12. Okay. The Torah says, "B'chamisha asar yom l'chedesh hashvi." On the 15th day of the seventh month, Mikra Kedesh yiyeh lachem. There will be a day of holy convocation for you. Kol melechas aveda. During this time, no work shall be done. Leisasu v'chagaysim chag lad Hashem. You will celebrate a festival unto God, shivas yamim, for 7 days. That's how we introduce the concept of the festival of Sukkot. What will you do on this Yom Tov? So elsewhere we hear about the palm frond, and we hear about the citron, and we hear about the myrtle and the willows. Here we talk about the offerings. Here we're speaking about the korbanot. V'hikravtem oila isha reich nicheich l'Hashem. You'll bring a fire offering, a pleasing aroma before God. Parim b'nei bakar shleisha asar, 13 oxen. Elim shnoyim, 2 rams. Kvasim b'nei shana ba'asar. And when it comes to the yearling sheep, you'll bring 14 of those. Tamimim yihyu, all of them should be complete and intact. Umin chasam, seilas belul bashamen, and the meal offering that accompanies it will be fine flour kneaded with oil. Shleisha esreinim, 3 measures lapar for each of the cows. La pora echad, la shleisha asa porim for all 13 of the cows, shnei esreinim la ayala echad, 2 measures, or 2 tenths, for each of the rams, la shnei ha'ilim, vi yisardin, yisardin la keves echad, there will be an yisardin, a tenth of the measure, for each of the sheep, larba asa kvasim. We'll see ir izim, echad chatas, there'll be 1 he-goat, which we brought as a sin offering, milvad, eilas atomid, all of this is in addition to the regular ongoing offerings of minchasa v'niska, and their upcoming meal offering and the libations. Okay, fine. So we got a whole litany, a whole list of different offerings, different korbanot that have to be brought on Sukkot. The Torah then says, "Uvayim hasheni," and on the second day of Sukkot, "Parim nevakar," we bring once again oxen. How many we bring this time? Shnei masa, 12. Elim shnayim, 2 rams. Kvasim neishana ba'asa tmimim. So what we see here is a shift in numbers. Earlier, when it came to the first day, we brought 13 oxen, and now we're bringing 12 oxen. The Torah goes on to say, "Umenchasim v'neskeim laparim la'ilim la'kvasim kibisparim." All of the libations will be in accordance with the numbers that we heard about before. And then there's a series. Izim echad chatas. There is that he goat who is brought as a sin offering, and that is brought elas Hatamid, in addition to the regular offering, umenchasa v'niskeim. So Rashi tells us the following. By this point already, you notice, pari hachag shivim heim. He says you're going to start to see that there's a shifting number. In total, there's going to be 70 bullocks that are going to be brought. And they correspond, they are keneged, shivim umais, corresponding to the 70 proverbial nations of the world. And there's an allusion or a hint, a remez, that's being conveyed to us in the numbers, in the shifting numbers, how we end up with the word number 70 over the course of the Yom Tov. Mismatim v'helchim, that the numbers continue to decrease. And this is a simin kloya hilahem. This is a sign of decreasing, or really of coming to an end, that they too will slowly decrease instead of increase. So they'll be waning. It's a waning fortunes. Will be mea migdash in the days of the Holy Temple. Hayumiginim aleya mina yisurin. These offerings would provide cover or protection for the nations of the world. And obviously, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, who lost? Well, we lost. Who else lost? The nations of the world lost, because they used to be protected, they used to be covered by these offerings and atoned for by these offerings. And once that happened, they didn't have this privilege anymore. Now the truth is, we the Jewish people do have the privilege of offerings, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. How so? Because we have that famous pasuk in Hosea, "Uneshalma parim sfaseinu," that we pay the burden of the bullock, so to speak, the obligation we have, we pay with our lip service. This is not a negative kind of lip service, but a powerful and profound, meaningful lip service. And that's when we recite the verses of the Korbanot. And the Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Maseches Sukkah tells us that when we do this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it, Hashem says, "Maila ani aleichem," I consider it as if you would ki'ilu hikrivum, as if you brought the offerings. So we, the Jewish people, don't lose out entirely on the concept of offerings, because we have the opportunity of reading the verses, studying about the Korbanot, of hearing the Torah being read publicly, and so on and so forth. But the nations who used to have Korbanos brought on their behalf do not have this benefit at all. They lost entirely. So this is the idea of the bullocks, ulekvasim, and the sheep. This is Keneged Yisrael. This corresponds to the Jewish people. Shenikru sep zura. We are referred to in the prophecies of Jeremiah as a scattered sheep. Now those offerings, the offering of the sheep, v'heim kavuim, there's a permanent number, a fixed number, uminyanam, and the total number, if you add up all of the offerings that are brought on behalf of the Jewish people, which do not have a decreasing number, but rather a fixed number, the same amount of sheep every single day, the number is minyanam is tishim ushmeina, 98. And why is that a meaningful number? This is to decrease or to minimize the impact of the 98 curses. We know that later on in Chumash Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the curses that are told to the Jewish people in Parshas Kisavi. Only it's twice as bad in Parshas Devarim, Chumash Devarim. It comes out in Parshas Kisavi, it comes out to be 98 different curses. So these karbonos that we brought on Sukkot serve to protect us from the negative energy that would impact us from those terrible curses that were that's called the techacha, the proverbial ryuk. Now Rashi notes by Yoy Basheni Nema Viniskehem Al Shnei Timidi Hayoim Vileshina Haloshan El Lidoresh. Here the Torah says some days it says Viniskehem and some days it says Vinisacheha, and then Bishvi we have Kimishpatam, so we have various the shifting in spelling. And Rashi points out that when you have all these the difference in spelling, you get a mem, then a yud, and then a mem, and that spells mayim. And this is a remez. This is an allusion l'nisach hamayim in Atayda, to the notion that water was poured in the mizbeach, and that this is a biblical idea, not a rabbinic one, even though it's never openly or clearly expressed in the Torah. So we have three things we learned about the festival of Sukkot today. Number one, there are offerings brought on behalf of all the nations. Number two, there are offerings that are brought on behalf of the Jewish people. The nation's offerings are in decreasing number, and this is in order to shield and protect them. But ultimately, it's omenful to the end game, in which Yisrael will rise and the nations will fall. And then we also hear about the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, the special water offering which is poured on the Mizbeach only during the festival of Sukkot. And this is linked to the concept of Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the great joy and celebration, which was called the festival, the festivities or rejoicing of raising water or taking water from the Me'ah Shiloach and pouring that in the Mizbeach. So today we're going to take a look now and try to understand on a deeper level, why is it that the Pari HaChag, for some reason, Sukkot and its offerings end up serving as a shield, a protection for the nations of the world? I mean, what do they have to do with the festival of Sukkot? There is a distinctly non-Jewish element, you could argue, in the festival of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the birth or creation of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava are the parents of all of humanity. Sukkot is a Jewish thing. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem protected us in the desert from all kinds of challenges that could have done us in for the course of 40 years. And we celebrate that on Sukkot. It's not celebrating a particular anniversary. It's not a particular day. Like Pesach celebrates going out of Mitzrayim. Shavuot celebrates receiving the Torah. Sukkot celebrates the continuous miracles that lasted 40 years. It's a very Jewish holiday. It's uniquely Jewish. Hashem protects Am Yisrael. So why is it that suddenly here we're speaking about the nations of the world bringing offerings on their behalf and so on and so forth? So on page Kuf Samach Beis, the Rebbe offers us some very interesting insight into this phenomenon. Yesh Lisha, we might well ask, Madu Atzriches Shivim Ha'umes Sheyakrivu Kenegdan Shivim Parim. Why is it that the 70 nations require that we should bring 70 bullocks on their behalf? Umadua dafke b'chag ha-Sukkot. Why specifically in the festival of booths, as we said, in which we celebrate a very Jewish theme and idea? So the Rebbe suggested the following, v'yeshleimer. Me'achar sheha'olam kuloi nivra b'shvil Yisrael. Since we have this Torah teaching that the whole world was created for Am Yisrael, for the Jewish people. And we have that teaching right in the beginning, in Chumash Bereshis, where it says Bereshis in the beginning, and our sages tell us, and Rashi quotes this on the straightforward, simple understanding of Torah, Pshuto Shel Mikra, that Bereshis stands for Beis Reshis, for two things that are called Reshis. And what are the two things called Reshis? Why was the world created? Bishvil Yisrael or Bishvil HaTorah? It was created for Am Yisrael and for the Torah. So, in other words, in that case, if the whole world is created b'shvil Yisrael, toli matzavan shel umas ha'olam b'matzavan haruchni shel bnei Yisrael. In that case, then, the situation of the reality in the world and all of humanity that Hashem created in the world, all created in His image, would be directly linked to and would, in large measure, depend on the spiritual circumstances and situation of the children of Israel. Bizman shematzav amaruchni shel bnei Yisrael yarud, at a time when we, the Jewish people, are at a low ebb in our spiritual devotion to Hashem, So gam ki yumin sh'umas ha'ilum leke b'chaser. It's not only us who lose. When we don't live as we should live, who else suffers? The nations of the world. Because the fortunes of the nations of the world are directly linked to our level, to our, so to speak, achievements in Avedis Hashem. And if we are not performing in our Avedis Hashem the way it should be, not only does it diminish our stature and standing, ultimately it impacts the entire world. Of course, the world may not know this. The world may not appreciate it. They did destroy the Beis HaMikdash without realizing that they were doing themselves in, as we talked about a little bit earlier. But the reality is, from a Torah perspective, everything is vested in the hands of Am Yisrael. Ve'ilu la'achar Yom HaKippurim, therefore, after Yom Kippur, which is a very Jewish day, Rosh Hashanah is a day for all people. Yom Kippur is a Jewish day. It's the Jewish Day of Atonement. It's not something that impacts all of the members of the families of the world, but rather the family of nations is impacted by Rosh Hashanah. I once heard a beautiful story from Rabbi Krinsky that the Rebbe was on the way out of his house, and there was a New York Times reporter whose name was Ari Goldman, and he was there with a young African-American woman, a photographer. And he wanted to see the Rebbe before Rosh Hashanah. He got like greetings, and he was going to write something in the New York Times. And this lady was taking a picture. She took pictures of the Rebbe's very quick meeting with Ari Goldman. So the Rebbe wished Ari Goldman a Happy New Year. He turned into this young lady, and he wished also a Happy New Year. So it's Rosh Hashanah coming, Happy New Year. And they started driving. And the Rebbe asked Rabbi Krinsky, do you have your cell phone with you? This is the cell phone of the... I think the early 80s, maybe late 70s even. So he said, yeah. So he said, call Ari Goldman and tell him that he makes sure to tell the young lady that when he said Happy New Year to her, he wasn't just being nice. That for her, it's also a new year. She should know that. That Rosh Hashanah is a time when Hashem judges all people. When the Rebbe wished her Happy New Year, she should know that Rebbe meant it. And it was a blessing specifically for her. It's a beautiful story, and it talks to you about the Rebbe's sensitivity of every person and how they should interpret his words and so on and so forth. But the message is that Rosh Hashanah definitely has an impact on all people. Everybody gets judged Rosh Hashanah. Mi yarum umi yashafil, who will be raised and who will be denigrated, is not only in the Jewish world. Hashem decides the fortunes of all of humanity every year on Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur? That's a Jewish thing. That's when we get forgiven from Hashem. However, the Rebbe reasons, if the fortunes of the whole world are ultimately inextricably linked to the fortunes of the Jewish people, and if our spiritual standing has a direct impact not only on us, but on everybody else, so la'achar Yom HaKippurim, after Yom Kippur, shebo'i miskaprim chata'im shel bnei Yisrael, this is the day when Hashem atones for and forgives the sins, the inequities, the imperfections of bnei Yisrael, who else benefits? Invariably, the nations of the world benefit too. The nations of the world also are restored to a certain more appropriate situation. Why? Because their fortunes are linked to the Am Yisrael, to the Jewish people. V'zehu, and therefore he suggests something, an incredible chiddush, amazing novelty here. Tafkidim shel shivim haparim, the purpose of these 70 bullocks, these special offerings, hamikuravim b'chagas sukkos, which are offered during the festival of Sukkot, and that's miyad la'achar Yom HaKippurim, immediately after the Day of Atonement, that the purpose is l'roimei meshivim ha'umeis mehayirida shecholah behem be'ikves avenuseim shel bnei Yisrael, to elevate the nations of the world from the denigration that they may have experienced, not from their own doing, but rather through our sins. Because when we behave inappropriately, it necessarily impacts the nations of the world inappropriately. And because of this, now it's necessary, now it's important for the nations of the world to be restored to their previous spiritual standing. So the whole idea of Sukkot is a continuation, really, of Yom HaKippurim. Like it says in Chassidus, that the main inyan of Yom Kippur is the idea of Keteris. Keteris is, of course, a plume of smoke. And then we have this idea that on Sukkot, Tzilasa Merubah Michamasa, that on Sukkot we have this notion that the shade has to overweigh the sunlight. So the sunlight also represents the idea of fire. And in Yom Kippur, the main thing is offerings, karbonis. Karbonis are fire. So the fire of Yom Kippur then gets, so to speak, cast aside or overwhelmed by the shade that's created from that fire. And this is the idea that that which we accomplish on a spiritual level in Yom Kippur is distilled into the covering of our sukkah, the schach. And you know that schach also has the numeric equivalent of 100, samach is 60, chet, and there's two chafs, which is 20 each, gives you a numeric equivalent of 100. And how many times do you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? 100 times. So there's a link between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, and then Chag HaSukkot. This is the energy of the days of awe are distilled into the energy of the days of joy. And you might think that that's a wholly Jewish thing. That's all about us. And the Rebbe says to us, no, it's actually not. It's something that has an impact on the whole world. Even the Jewish parts of Yom Kippur have an impact on everybody else because everybody else's fortune and their connection to Hashem has a lot to do with our connection to Hashem. And since we've become atoned and cleansed Yom Kippur, and since we're ready to celebrate Sukkot and experience the so to speak, the after effect, the positive after effects, the salutary after effects of Yom Kippurim, which after we've become cleansed and atoned, we're able to sit in Hashem's embrace, which is the idea of the Sukkah, and bring special offerings which shield and protect us, then it shouldn't only be for us, but it should also be for the nations of the world. And that's why we bring these special karbanot, lahanek lahem kiyum mechadosh, so that they should be sustained all over again in a way which is mechudosh, umala yeser, in a way which is renewed, and even more satisfying and more full. That is a totally elevating and inspiring perspective of how everything we do affects not only every member of Am Yisrael, but ultimately within our hands and within our responsibility towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vested the welfare of all nations of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that Mashiach should come and the nations should finally know and appreciate what Am Yisrael does for it. Tamid kol hayamim, all through the year and especially during the high holidays.
Where is the Mayim?